All right, so most of you guys are kind of familiar with this already. Let's just try to do things from memory, shall we? All right. Who are the four majors here? And the pictures can help remind you. Mm-hmm. Daniel always says Daniel. Bethany always says Isaiah. Huh?
Bethany, that's
what we're
saying.
Yeah,
Isaiah's church.
Yeah. Isaiah's church. See that Isaiah's church is smart. Yeah. He visits our church and she visits
nice. Church.
Okay. All right, so we have Daniel, Isaiah,
Jeremiah,
our weeping prophet, and Ezekiel. Good. You guys couldn't see that, right? But you know there's a valley of dry bones, or you just remembered it. All right. Anybody want to try the books of the Bible, minor prophets?
It's Isaiah's brother, Ezekiel.
Kai.
Good
Jeremiah.
Association. Jeremiah. Oh, there is a Jeremiah.
Yeah. No. It would be cool if it was.
So it's from QQRSTV, right? Okay, so Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Malachi, that's 12. Very good. Malachi. So, very good. Well, it's my family. We already know the song. How about those outside of my family? You guys want to give it a whirl? Give it a whirl. You want to try it? Yes? No? No one's interested. I'm not going to put people on the spot if you're not interested. It's just for your own. Or try to shout them out. Pictures to remind you. Right? So, obviously, we start with Hosea.
Hosea.
That's not the song. That's how I taught the class. So, you are asking. Okay, so
Hosea. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah.
Nahum, Habakkuk. Anybody singing? Malachi. Okay. All right. I won't do that anymore. You guys are not interested. It was just a way to make sure you kind of lock down and know the minor prophets. All right. I'm going to just finish up this. Do we need to review the tips? Everybody's got the tips of how to read the minor prophets down pretty good. All right. Daniel says yes. He started for three times already. One time with two reviews. The last 2 weeks, we were talking about the ways. I just wanted to lay some groundwork, the ways that the minor prophets apply to us today. So we've covered one. In a day when the world's events were uncertain, and when you don't quite understand what's happening in the world, the minor prophets remind us that God is sovereign. Thursday prayer meeting in our smaller group, we spent time praying for the people who suffered from the fires in Maui, right? You don't understand. We don't understand. But we can believe that God is sovereign. Things in your life that occur or that have occurred, you don't understand, but that God is sovereign. Number two, we are reminded by the minor prophets that even though it was a time where God's word wasn't being given, the minor prophets remind us that God still speaks. God wants to speak to us. And we discuss the question of why is it that certain Christians are unable to hear God? what are the different causes? We had a great, robust conversation about that. Last week, we talked about unfaithfulness, but the Minor Prophets reminds us of God's faithfulness. So today, the last two, and then we're going to jump into the book of Hosea, hopefully. In a day of empty worship and religiosity, and I'll explain what that means. The Minor Prophets call us to have a genuine faith, a real faith. Another word that I've used with the youth a lot is don't mistake your churchianity for true Christianity. It's easy to grow up in the church. You know the behaviors of the church. You know what people say. You know when to say amen. You know when to stand. You know when to sit. You know what things not to talk about at church. You know kind of the lay of the land. You get used to it. You are able to be at church, go to church, not feel super uncomfortable. You know the songs. You know what people say in prayers. You might be able to pray yourself or say those words. But sometimes there is, and this is maybe something for you kids to, it'd be interesting for you to talk about. What does it mean to have empty worship? Or churchianity, plain church. Okay. What do you guys think? That wasn't my discussion question, but why don't we just go ahead and just take 3 minutes real quick, gather with the group that you're comfortable with and talk about what does it mean that they were facing a time of empty worship? Because they were going to temple, right? They would go to temple. They would go to the synagogue. They would worship. They would be there. But what does it mean, empty worship? What does it mean, churchianity or religiosity? All right. So why don't we get a little group? Shouldn't take too long. And let's hear, let's get some interaction this morning and let's hear what you guys say. All right. What do you guys think? How about we'll work, we'll start with a younger group. What do you guys think of empty worship? What is empty worship? What is religiosity? What do you guys think?
Well, we were saying how like empty worship could mean like, even if you're like there, mm-hmm. and just because you're like, they're like you're singing songs, mm-hmm. like, your heart's not really there.
Yeah, your heart's not there.
Just because you're doing something doesn't mean you're into it.
Right, do you guys know what she means by your heart's not there? What does that mean? For some people are like, what are you talking about? The heart. What is the heart's not there? You want to further expand on that?
Like, I guess you're not really like, you don't really feel like you want to be there just because you're doing something. Like,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Or like, I think you said once that like sometimes like the sermon will be like boring or something and you'll be like, you'll be like, oh my gosh, like the game, like, the football game.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thanks. I got to be careful what I say.
You said that? No, you
I did. I said in the class. Are you sure? I've been distracted in church. Never. I've never been distracted at church, ever. My heart is always in worship. But yeah, sure.
Other people.
I was talking about other people, really.
Oh, yeah.
Other people who, if the sermon's boring or you just, yeah, you're there. Even if the sermon is good, you might be checked out. Your heart is not there. I like that phrase. Your heart's not in it. You know when your heart is in something. You know when your being is engaged in something. And when you're not, you're thinking about the football games later, right? Like, ooh, who's going to play? This is going to be a good game. I'm more excited for that or the basketball game that's going to take place after lunch than what's going on right now. Sure. Good. Right? So it's like you're here, but your heart's not in it. Good. How about the group right behind them?
you go into church, your purpose is not with the Lord.
Okay.
Your purpose is something else.
Something else. Like what? Give me some examples. I mean, I thought everybody's purpose here was for the Lord. Come on.
For example, to show off, telling people that, hey, I'm a good person. So I'm going to church. I'm doing all this free stuff. I'm following. But it just all surface. But God is not with the purpose.
Right. Oh, you're saying something even more. God is not with that person, right?
Yeah, they go to church. The purpose is not to worship God.
Yeah. They are there for other reasons. Maybe you want to find a boyfriend, girlfriend, right? That happens. You want to show off, like, hey, look, or to satisfy something. Hey, I'm good. I went to church. I check that off. Okay, good. How about you guys over there? The young ones. I'd love to hear from the young ones. Okay, man. It's like we
We said like picking a flower, like first out there.
Okay.
And like my mom used to say analogy of like practice too, and like how like you can go to practice and just go through the motions, but like if you don't really want to be there, then you're really not gonna like get anything out of it.
Right.
So it's like the difference between just being like a church goer versus like never
studio. Right. Okay. So a church goer versus
like a relationship with God.
Oh, having a relationship with God. Okay. But can people who have a relationship with God sometimes check out too and not be here in spirit?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. That's good. All right. And you guys talk, how about this group over here?
We're saying that empty worship is more of like for example, like Saturday when we're singing, you're just karaoke with everyone else.
Oh, karaoke.
You don't mean the word sing.
Yeah, those are the people who actually just, all right, man, I'll sing, I'll karaoke this.
Man, that's like a bad quality concert.
Bad quality concert. Yeah, I don't like the sound of that. I don't like to hear people who can't sing well, let alone multiple people who can't sing well, who are not right, but that's hard to judge, right? Because I've had people stand right next to me who can't sing a lick, and they are tone deaf.
They're worshiping,
and they are not karaokeing. They are full worship, right? Okay, good. Anything else from this group?
Yeah, we said like just going through the motions as well. Like you're just doing things to do things, but you don't really have a reason why. You're not really thinking about. You're not trying to. You're just doing it. Whether that's been ingrained in you or just want to fit in or something like that.
Right.
You're just doing it.
How is it ingrained in you? How does it become ingrained in you?
For like kids growing up in church, you know, like your parents will bring you to church.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow up going to church all the time,
yeah,
you're just kind of used to that,
yeah,
lifestyle.
Yeah. That's a tough one for me. Because I agree. And I've seen it. It's so sad for me when we've seen a kid, their family loves the Lord, they're in children worship, they keep going on and on. And it's been ingrained in them. They know the routine, they know what to do, but it's empty. There's nothing there. Isaiah, the major prophet, actually talked about this. He said, they come to me with their mouth. They worship me with their lips, or they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So Clara hit that concept on the head right in the beginning. You're here, you're actually doing it, you're honoring God with your lips, you're doing what everybody else is doing, but your heart is far from him.
I was sharing that verse as well. The latter end of that verse is the continuation of the verse says, their worship of me is merely based on human rules they have been taught.
That's right.
So that's kind of what Daniel said too, right? Like, you just have grown up with it, right? Like, that's all you've heard, and that's just, you're just following it.
Right. And that's one of the most scariest things to see. Can you believe it or not that some people have been baptized, but it was just an ingrained teaching that they followed? So that even when they met with the pastors, it sounds like they're saying all the right things. And we get the wool pulled over our eyes. I mean, I think Pastor James and I have been pretty discerning. I can't even count on one hand, so it's more than one hand, the number of, you know, people that I have declined baptism to, which is crazy. But when I didn't feel that they were ready, didn't feel that they really understood what they were doing, even after multiple conversations, I pulled the ripcord on them. But I know, I'm sure. And I've prayed about that because it sucks sometimes. But I think we do our genuine best to be able to have discernment. And then the rest of it's between that individual and God. But I know that people have been baptized and it was for show. It was going through the motions. It was as the rest of that passage in Isaiah. They are merely following the human traditions taught to them, right? I think that's Isaiah 9, right?
29.
So if we have this, that was going on rampantly in Israel and Judah at the time. Meaning these were, yes.
I want to add to it that is very important that when we go to worship the Lord with our hearts, because a lot of times go, well, it's just me with the Lord.
Yeah.
So why would that be better? But it does, because a lot of my friends that from college and from high school, they no longer go to church because that's what they see, people that go to church, their heart is not there. They're on the phone, they're talking, they're looking elsewhere, but they're not worshiping God. And they go, well, look at them. And we are being looked at, and it's our heart there. We can't control others, but we can control ourselves. But because of us not being with the Lord to worship God with our heart, that trips someone is our fault.
Yes, or to stumble somebody, yes. Yeah, I've heard plenty of that on that side. So you're saying the opposite side. People who do worship God with their heart are saying, I don't need to be with all these people. It's empty worship here, right?
No. I'm saying the people that who goes to church not worshiping God with their heart, they go, oh, it's just using an excuse that it's just me with God. So why would that matter?
Oh, right. But actually you're stumbling people because they see your fake.
Yeah.
Your fakeness.
But they thought that people didn't
see
that.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But I have a word for those people who get stumbled by that too, right? Have you guys ever heard this before? There was a person who was saying to the pastor, you know, I think I'm going to change churches. Every time I look around, people on their cell phones, people looking at photos, people not paying attention. I've seen people, even at the church, having a ball game on their phone, like a soccer game, like literally. And I'm like, ooh, like I'm literally right next to you. Or not next to you, but I kind of saw it. And this person said to the pastor, you know, I think I need to go to another church because so many people are distracted. They're not really worshiping here. The pastor actually said this. He said, can I ask you to do one last thing before you leave? And I said, sure. He filled up a glass full of water. And he said, if you would, just before you leave for the last time, like walk around the whole church, you know, through the church, and come back to me and try not to drop spill a drop of water. So he did. He was so careful. Walked around the whole church, walked through the church, and after a while came back to the pastor and was very proud, and he said, I didn't spill one drop of water. And he said, did you notice anybody like distracted on the phone? Did you notice anybody, you know, on watching a soccer game? He said, no, I didn't. Because sometimes our focus is too much on other people. Instead of, if we put that sole focus that he did on not spilling a drop of water, it's on the Lord. Anyways, I just heard that last night from some people sharing in the Chinese Fellowship at our school. The minor prophets, you'll see as we, I'm going to try to start it in like 5 minutes, in the book of Hosea, challenge us to have a genuineness in our faith. These guys, from revelation from God, is able to see how fake the Israelites were in their worship. The Israelites would go to temple and go through all of the routines, and yet they would go worship other gods. Baals. Okay, well, I'll introduce that to you guys as well. They would go through all the motions because it's very embedded in their culture. Like Daniel used the word, it's been ingrained in them since they're young. But for some reason, their hearts are far from the Lord. And sometimes we'll see it's because the leaders' hearts are far from the Lord. So their parents' hearts are far from the Lord. So you just learn from that. let me give you guys a discussion question for this. Where do we see empty worship and religiosity in Christians today? Where do you see that? Like, I don't know if my question makes sense. I think we talked about it in describing empty worship. How about where do you guys see it? That makes sense. Sometimes I'm not sure if I asked the right question.
So one of the examples we gave in our group, like Kevin was saying, like the singing, you know, on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Singing.
Yeah, so it's like, because that's, like you're singing just to sound good, or like one example is singing just to sound good, like you're in the back, like going for all the riffs, or, you know, like, you're just trying to make yourself sound better to the people around you.
Mm.
Or you just don't care, and you're just kind of like saying the words, or like you're just looking around, or, you know. Yeah, so I think singing is one obvious example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's in church. That's a good example in church. What else? Where else do you see it? Where else do you guys see empty worship?
Again, personal devotions.
Okay.
Like you're just reading through the verse of the day, or trying to, like, if you're doing Bible in 1 year or whatever, you're like, okay, I gotta get through my
right
passage today, or
right whatever. Right,
just, yeah, doing it.
So you're doing it, your heart's not in it.
Yeah,
it's hard to do that. Bible in a year, man, you do get caught up in that. I'm not sure if that would be considered like empty worship. It could be for that moment, but it's not like a That doesn't mean it's like
like more like religiosity kind of thing. Like you're just you just have to read every day, or you have to
do right. Okay.
Like, so I read my Bible, you know, like I just kind of like
okay. How about elsewhere? How about outside of church?
Like Christian schools for like elementary kids because they're like forced to go there.
Yeah.
And like they don't know, like, you know, because like they're
just forced. Right, so you're just forced to go. In fact, I've heard a lot of stories about kids who grew up in Christian school and they hate Christianity because they were forced to do it. You're forced to go to chapel. You're forced to memorize verses. You're forced to learn about the Bible, right? So sometimes it has an opposite effect, right? Yeah, so good point. Yeah. So in Christian schools, how about in regular schools? How about in public schools? Do you see any religiosity there? And workplaces? What do you guys think? Sometimes I don't know if you guys need to get into a discussion group, but then, man, we're like losing time, precious minutes, but I want to give you guys space.
I feel like it's the opposite. I guess school and work, like you're like hiding your religion instead of like showing it off.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, in the workplace or a school, you're just like, you're not even like showing anything.
Yeah.
How about people who say that they're Christians?
I feel like in schools, because I'm not in like work, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously. Like, yeah, it's hard for like, or it's not hard, but like Christians, like they're kind of like a different person. Like,
mm-hmm.
With like church, they're like going through the motions, like you said, like their heart's not in it. And then like, but like they still like are like praying and like, you know, worshiping, but like they aren't really a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then at like school, like they're just a different like person.
Mm-hmm.
Like another.
Which one do you think is their real self? The school version or the church version? Or it's just both. I don't know. What are you gonna say?
Maybe it's like neither.
Okay. Maybe it's neither. What do you guys think? Do you guys agree with Abby that there's people who go through the motions at church and in their workplace or outside of church they act a completely different way?
I say that in marriages, I
think. Oh, in marriages?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes children that we know with devout believing parents, you know, they just don't even want the faith because they know how their parents are at home.
They saw it. It's, you know, right.
Their marriage, how they act.
Mm.
Their churchgoers all their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I don't want this.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Like, why clock in the extra time? Right? That's what I don't get sometimes. I think we've encountered, like Abby was saying, like people who call themselves Christians, but you're like, wait a second, your behavior, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you approach life, you don't really give me the vibe that Christ lives in you. Have you guys encountered people like that? Yes or no? No? Yeah.
I've never encountered someone like that, but when I was younger, I used to watch those music video award ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe back in the 90s, a lot of these groups would go up and, you know, first and foremost, I want to give thanks to God. And I'm like, that's so weird because the music is not anywhere near
like God's, what God would want. Right. Mm. I think there are a lot of instances where, yeah, Christians like that want to somehow, or people, the statistics in America are staggering. It's a very high percentage of our population that says that they believe in Jesus Christ. They consider themselves Christians. Bex and I have been shocked when we're in like travel ball with our kids. And they get a little bit upset at us because we tell them from the very beginning that we'll sign up for your club team, but we will not make it to the games on Sunday. Sometimes if our child chooses to not to, they won't either. A lot of the parents in travel ball, just like in America, say that they are Christians. Like, they're very upfront with it. Yeah, we're Christians. Oh, you guys are Christians. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we're Christians. We go to such and such church. And I've even asked people at those churches, oh, man, have you ever seen this family? Oh, yeah, they don't come. You know, they're always on the ball field. And I don't want to be overly judgmental, but I think Beck said it one time, it's like, wow, when you see how excited they get for where they are on a Sunday, they call themselves Christians, but you're revealing who your God is, right? I think that sucks. I want to ask you guys a question. Now, this is going to hit a little more personally. What situation or situations in your life might need you to consider approaching it? I think I don't have an "it" in there. From a spiritual angle and not just a practical one. The reason why I ask this is because I want us to think for a moment of what area of our life might we not be approaching in faith. We're approaching it in a very practical manner. Does that make sense? Meaning, maybe I did pray about this once, but I'm not, if God gave me an answer, I probably wouldn't follow it. I haven't brought this before God. I'm fully in a practical mode. We are just doing what everybody else is doing. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm on my own. And I said, in other words, what area of your life might you need to yield to God? Meaning, if someone were to look at your life and they're like, whoa, wait a second. I thought you're a person of faith, but it seems like God's not in this area of your life. This is a little harder. Usually when I use general questions, like what do Christians struggle with? We get a lot of dialogue. But anytime I turn it a little personal, but I felt this one was tugging on me because I think it's just important for us to evaluate. So get in your groups, 3 minutes. We are off target, but three.
Wait.
All right, we should probably get together. I think our breakout room has come back together. Sounds like there are some good conversations. Anybody anybody have any examples you want to share that's outside of your smaller group? Anybody? You guys have any? Pastor James, did you share yours? I'm telling other people they share theirs. Okay. All right. Pastor James said, you guys will both share.
Now, I said, John can feel free to share because when we shared, Mabel and I took the time. He didn't get to share. So I said, instead of regurgitate what we shared, he can feel free to share his part. He doesn't have to share.
Yeah, you know. Okay. Would you like to
share? Yeah. There was something I was thinking about when he was talking. He was talking about like his old job and like along the lines of like praying and like having patience, like showing love to like those who were like difficult to work with, like his bosses or just people around work that were just difficult to deal with. And you know, I was just thinking about like for me in my life, like just like the everyday life that like I'm put in, like places I'm put in, like school and work, like how one thing that I've been struggling with is like how do I glorify God and like these little things I do in life, like the smallest things I do in life, like how do I, how are we called to give glory to God and what we do? Like, it's something as simple as like going to school and like going to work. But I think like, you know, what he shared, like putting in perspective, like really well, just like something you said, Pastor Alex, is like showing love to like the least of these is showing love to Jesus. And like,
I think, well, Jesus like, said that. I gotta get him
credit.
Yeah. I always said Jesus said that.
Yeah, just like those like practical things that I feel like a lot of people, including myself, like often look over in my day to day life, like thinking about those people who I have a difficult time with. But yeah, just like I think like that patience, that aspect of like just randomly like praying for them when they don't even ask for it, and they don't even know you're praying for them.
Yeah, that's good. I was definitely tracking with you. I realized not early on in my faith. It was much later on my faith. I think I was so thick-headed. I didn't even realize that the way I was at school, in high school, even though there, like my faith genuinely took off junior year of high school year, of high school. And I just didn't realize, even though I now think back and it's not like I wasn't taught or told or even confronted, but I didn't realize the impact of God, like you said, John, in all the little things, even my behaviors. And so when I look back, it's a little bit sad, you know. I'm sure I was a type of student that if you guys saw and you guys were having this conversation here and I was your classmate, you would think of me. You'd be like, oh, there's this guy in your mind, like at school, Alex, he says he's a Christian, he goes to church, doesn't act like it. Not in his, it doesn't appear that God is in any way in his life. So I was thinking about that when you were talking, but to another place of where you're at, which is far more mature than I was, is how do we even go the extra step and love those who are the least in our midst? Right? How do we give glory to God? But like, there's a thing that I've been wanting to share to our church. I don't know why it keeps coming up in my prayer. I think I've said it once before, but I want to continue to say it. Try to be so clued in to the Holy Spirit in your life that when you're talking to someone, whether it's at church or at work or at school, I want to encourage you. Sometimes you really have an inclination, if you're in step with the Holy Spirit, you may hear something that they're saying that is showing that they have a need. And as soon as you catch that, offer to pray for them. Just like you said, just offer them. Would you mind if I pray for you? Are you comfortable with that? And they can say no. And you can say, okay, I'll privately pray for you. But overwhelmingly in my life, this happened just last week when we were at the YMCA. I saw one of the families at our church. I was with CJ shooting around. And this lady goes, Pastor? Pastor? And I was like, me? Yes, I am a pastor, but I didn't know somebody would. I'm not famous. So. But it was one of the families from Kids Summer Camp. And she was sharing with me very quickly, because I remember some facts about them, her and her husband. And so she's, oh my goodness, I can't believe you remember. And I said, yes, and you guys used to go to this church, right? In the valley, or, you know, and oh my goodness, you remembered. And then all of a sudden, her and her husband shared some stuff with me that they're struggling with. And here we are in the middle of, you know, a basketball court at the YMCA. And I just said, would you guys be okay if I prayed for you? Would that be okay? Are you comfortable with that? And they said, yes, please. And then I prayed for them. I prayed over them. We were like close together. And even their kids who are not familiar with that are like, what are you guys doing? You hear the mom's like, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? And she's like, Pastor's praying for us, Pastor. And when I finished praying, she had tears in her eyes. The guy had a little glisten, a little moisture. And they said, no one's ever done that for us before. No one's ever prayed for us. And I was like, I'm so glad I could. And, you know, here's my number. Actually, I didn't give my number. I said, you could always find me at the church or something like that. I want to encourage you guys to do that. I love that particular place that you went, John, because it's not, I want to challenge my old me, you know, if I was to think about like, what vibes do I give off, right? If you're a Christian in this, if you're a Christian and you know you're connected with Jesus, what vibes do you give off in school? Like, are you the person where people might go, gosh, that guy Alex says that he's at church on the weekends. He said he's a Christian, but I just don't see it in his life. It's when Nancy sees someone getting an award and being like, I hear your music. There's a lot of unholy stuff going on in that, in your music. And the first thing you say is, I want to give all the glory to God. It just didn't like feel right, right, Nancy? And I think I gave off those vibes in the past when I was young. The type of friends that I had, or the type of behavior, the way I talked, the way I treated my friends. There's a lot of that that I praise God that he's had to do a work in me. But I think that ties back to letting my worship not be empty, and the opportunity that I have to ask God to allow my faith to not just be a religion, but to be that true and genuine transforming relationship in my life, right? Because it can start to get more tricky. The more you walk with God, the more he's going to show you how your faith takes shape in your school, in your workplace, in your family at home. And are you willing to, I used the word yield to God. That's usually the simplest answers, whether or not you just yield and say, God, I surrender. Yes. I say yes, God, not no. I don't want to say no. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. I want to say yes, God, help me in my sports, in my class, in my workplace. God, you're showing me in my family at home. You're calling me to something. Am I willing to say yes? God, I think this is going to be so hard. I think it's going to be so hard to be honest. I think it's going to be so hard to not gossip. It's going to be so hard to not, or it's going to be so hard to forgive, or so hard to whatever it is. Are you willing to say yes to the Lord on that? Right. So I think this is one of the big things in the Minor Prophets. I'm going to just finish off on five and we'll be done with these slides for ever. In a day of minimal commitment that those prophets were in Israel, you saw Israel being very unfaithful to God, breaking the covenant, the promise that they have with God at that time. The Minor Prophets remind us that a life set apart for God is a life that is best spent. These were people who were so deeply committed to God, and they were set apart for God's use. These were people who had a genuine love for God's people. And they were not afraid to speak the truth. Since we have the younger ones in here, I'm attentive to you. And I want to say that in my high school years and in my college years, I was able to have friendships where you had people who loved you enough to be able to speak the truth. I think it was, I don't know if it's Frank and myself, at one point in time we said, you want to make sure that you're able to say the hard things. The hard things. You guys know what that means? Yes, no? If you want to be able to say something to your friend, you want to be able to have a friend who's willing to say something honest with you, hopefully not in a hurtful way, but in a way that does confront where you may be a little off track with God or in your life. You want that in your life. You don't want to surround yourself by people who never say those words to you. You have to ask yourself, am I the type of person that in my friendships I invite that? I need someone to speak truth into my life. And I went on that little thought because we're always, you know, especially the younger ones, you're making friends, you're finding friends. Do you have friends that love Jesus enough and love you enough that they are willing to challenge you in your life? Not, again, hurtfully, hopefully, but they're willing to say, I've noticed that you're a little bit off. I've been praying for you. I love you. You know that. I was fortunate to have people like Frank and Pastor James in my life that can speak those hard truths. Even to the point where Pastor James has said to me, man, I haven't put my friendship on the line. I know that with you. Because what I have to say, you may not want to be friends with me anymore. But I love you so much that I'm willing to say it. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, don't follow that example of mine. If you do that, just do it once. You can't do it more than one time. Because if you do it more than one time, it's gone.
Yeah. I didn't get it more than one time.
Yeah. But you too. Yeah, multiple times. Yeah, right. And by the grace of God,
grace of God, man.
That can become alive again. Yeah. That's God's grace. So just don't follow my example. But like what Pastor Alex said, it's like, yes, do that.
Yeah.
But not like.
Yeah, it doesn't, you don't have to crush it. Not every day. You don't have to crush it. Pastor James would say a phrase to me that it still causes me like trauma.
You guys have a better version of me.
He'll say
today.
Hey brother, I have two things that we need to talk about.
Oh shoot. Two. It's two dead steps.
So yeah.
I don't do that steps. Anymore. I always say three or more.
Yeah, oh, three or more.
Like, yeah. Not as
two, man. There's a lot, but you need that. And the first friend that did that to me was Frank, you know, having someone to be able to say, hey, I know you love the Lord. I know you love Jesus. And I want to talk to you about that, you know. And you have to ask yourself this morning, do I have people? Friends, even for Bex and I think we have other people outside of our sphere. Like she gets me all the time. Okay. Every day she's like, I got one of two things.
Seven things.
It's perfect. That's fine. Yeah. That's why when you see me sometimes, I'm always like this. Here are the seven things. But you want to ask yourself this morning, do I have a friend who loves Jesus enough and loves me enough to challenge us, to challenge me, or for us to challenge our family? We need that. You need
people who are willing to say the hard things in your life, as well as just be friends and laugh and hang out. That's a valuable treasure to have. And if you don't, then begin fostering relationships that would welcome that. Do you welcome that? Sometimes you may want to ask them, hey man, how am I doing? Do you see anything that's off? Because I trust your opinion. I trust that you love the Lord. I know you love me. I trust that you love me. Help me. I think I might be off. I would love to get perspective. Sometimes it may help to have a mentor, if not a friend, but someone to speak truth in your life. And if not, Pastor James and I will always try to do a good job of bringing God's truth so that God himself can consult with you, convict you. But I do believe that God has placed people on the earth, in the church, to become close brothers and sisters, close friends, that you can say, they speak truth that I love them. I need that. You want that. Okay? These guys love God's people. They love God's land. They loved everything about God. And they were willing to put their relationships on the line to be able to speak truth. If I have a last question. This is not really applied to that, but I just wonder, have you ever had situations where because of your faith, you stepped out in courage? When your faith, you desire to not just be an empty worship and religiosity. When God is challenging you in your relationships, in your family, at school, or at home, or at work. And when you step out in faith, I pray that you will have a chance to experience the provision and the goodness of God, where you would have a testimony to say, man, I made a big change for the Lord, and God is so good. He was there with me. I knew he was with me. I experienced God in this. That's the trajectory that I hope that the prophets were hoping that Israel would take. I hope that would be what we start getting more out of the minor prophets as we study them. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. I know I've spent weeks to introduce the minor prophets. I have felt strongly that we need to lay a good groundwork and hopefully be thinking about some of these different ways and some of the tips of how we read the minor prophets. I pray that you would bless us in the study as we transition out of introductions and go into the actual look at the book, and be with us on that journey. Thank you, God. I pray that today you yourself were using these topics to work upon our hearts. I trust that you have been doing that. And I pray that our answer would be yes, Lord. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I say yes to you, God. May our answer always be to you, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.